You are tuned to KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. and this is the coffee table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Borough ballot measure one, I have to be very clear about that. Borough ballot measure one is the topic for discussion today, and in the studio, Chief David Baer from Nanilchik Emergency Services.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning. And Chief John Marsh from Anchor Point Fire and Emergency.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Also, Assemblymember Brent Johnson, who is the sponsor of this proposition, correct?
Correct.
And good morning. So, could we start with a ceremonial reading of the proposition so that people know what this is? And if you're interested in doing it, Assemblymember Johnson, since this is your proposition, that would be great. If you would prefer that I do it, then I'll do that.
You just want the ballot language is, shall the Kenai Peninsula Borough be authorized to exercise powers to provide fire protection and emergency medical services through the expansion of the Anchor Point Fire and Emergency Medical Service Area to include the Nanilchik area as defined by Section 2 of Ordinance 2020-31. That's a question.
And yes, it is.
And the answers are yes or no.
And I'm going to come back at, this is all from the proposition itself, Ballot Measure 1, Proposition 1, the Western Emergency Service Area. And you can access this easily for yourself at kpb.us. And a yes vote on Proposition 1 approves the expansion of the Anchor Point Fire and Emergency Medical Services Area into the Nanilchik area, creating a new service area to be called the Western Emergency Service Area. A no vote would prohibit the expansion of the Anchor Point Fire and Emergency Medical Service Area into Nanilchik. So no would be no new Western Emergency Service Area. Yes would create the new service area. Now, if you have questions or comments, questions for Chiefs Baer and Marsh or Assemblymember Johnson, you can call 235-7721, or you can email questions to info@kbbi.org, and they'll send them right in here to the studio. Now, I do want to begin with Assemblymember Johnson, because this wasn't just decided by some closed-door committee. There was a long process. There were three options that were possible for this. I wonder if we should start with Chief Baer from Nanilchik. What was the need that created this proposition?
Well, I think back in February, we had a little incident that kind of opened people's eyes about how an essential service like emergency services can be interrupted. We had a conflict between the board and responders, and we had a couple of our ALS providers getting fired, and the possibility of a shutdown of our service for a couple days. So that kind of woke everybody up and to the fact that, you know, a volunteer service like our own isn't a sure thing. It can fail, and it can fail for a number of reasons. Financially, in this case, it was more of a Nicene warfare there, but that kind of resolved itself. We elected a new board. We moved past that, and we're able to continue to provide services. But I think out of that grew a need to look hard at improving the service, and one way to do that, of course, is to become a borough service, and this merger idea came up through the working group, and it really kind of delivers the best bang for everybody's buck. You know, people will pay a mill rate, they'll pay a tax, but they get a lot of benefit. Both areas, they get a large benefit from doing that, and Brent might be able to go into a few of the details on that.
Yeah, Assemblymember Johnson, we will talk. I want to talk about the finances of it, but first, if you could tell people about the process by which this this proposition was chosen?
Absolutely. So there was a bit of a crisis from our viewpoint on the assembly in February when the Nanilchik Emergency Service Area fired the chief, and there was a lot of attention. Mayor Pierce got right on it, and there was a meeting set up in Nanilchik, and so some of the key people that played into the formation of that working group. I want to mention to begin with that Chief James Basin is Pierce's chief of staff. And it just is handy that he happens to be a retired fire chief, and he functions very well with the other, with the fire service area. So I think he was integral in it. Mayor Pierce got right on it. Brenda Allberg is the community and fiscal projects manager. She attended the first meeting and the subsequent meetings in Nanilchik. Patty Burley from the legal department, she was also there. And then, of course, I want to emphasize Catherine Covey, the president or what do you call, president of the board of directors for the Nanilchik Emergency Service Areas. That was the board that got set up. I don't think she was the original one. And then Dawson Slaughter from the Anchor Point was the, I don't know if they call him chairperson or president, but either way, they're the head of the local fire service board of directors. So anyway, and then the clerk's office played a huge part in this. That'd be Johnny Blankenship and Deputy Clerk Michelle Turner. So meetings were held, and it was decided that a working group would be set up. So Mayor Pierce is the one who made the appointments for that working group. The people, of course, whenever the mayor makes an appointment like this, gets confirmed by the assembly. And the working group held three meetings, and time was short because we knew that we had to get this on the ballot. And so we didn't mess around. We had three meetings, and we came out with some pretty good findings, and they were unanimous. It was unanimous that the working group wanted to put this measure on the ballot that got on the ballot. But I wanted to read through the findings that came out of that group. Fewer volunteers, this is the first finding, fewer volunteers are offering to serve on both Nanilchik and Anchor Point teams. That is actually not limited to Anchor Point and Nanilchik. This is across the borough. It might be across the nation from what I'm hearing, is that people just aren't volunteering. So that's a big problem when you got a volunteer station in Nanilchik and people aren't volunteering. And volunteers are a super big part of what's going on in Anchor Point, and people just aren't volunteering as much, economic reasons and whatnot. Then another finding was a joint service area would be more efficient than separate service areas. This is easy to emphasize. It was amazing to me. So the way it gets more efficient is they would share a chief, they would share an assistant chief, and they share a mechanic. So those are big efficiencies that save an awful lot of money. And I want to illustrate the kind of savings we're talking about. We looked at, during the working group, at what would it take if you just had a separate, an Nanilchik service area, rather than having a combined area? What if Nanilchik went to their own service area? And we found out that to fund a single chief, a single full-time guy, would take 5.75 mils, because you also have to fund enough money to have an equipment fund, because there's lots of dollars worth of equipment that gets replaced periodically in a fire service area. And also you need to have a fund balance in case things go emergencies and whatnot. So 5.75 mils is way too much. You just simply, that's not economically possible. And yet, when you put the two areas together, you're able to get 10 workers for 2.95 mils. Anchor Point is currently funded for 5 workers, but we're talking 10 workers between the two. So anyway, that's pretty dramatic, as something that surprised me that came out of the meeting, how dramatic that was. We also found a joint service area would significantly reduce the cost of ambulance run for Nanilchik residents. And maybe Dave will remember what the exact numbers are, but if I recall right, it's in the $800. If you get an ambulance ride now, the Anchor Point charges their own rate. If it's a service area, the borough sets the rate. And so John and Dave probably know those numbers. Dave?
Can you guys weigh in on that?
Yeah, yeah, we set our own rates, and I think we're up at $1,400 for an ALS run and maybe $1,100 for a BLS, and unfortunately, we just don't get that. You know, most of our patients are on Medicaid, and they'll only pay so much, you know, and they won't pay that full rate, and so we're constantly expecting a certain amount and not getting it, so yeah.
Yeah, and I don't recall the exact numbers for our billing. I just remember when we did the working group, it was significantly less what the borough charged.
So anyway, that's a huge factor and an advantage for a person. You know, not everybody has insurance. Some people have to pay out of their own pocket. I know where we're at on our fishing site. We've used, we're in this area, and we've used the ambulance 3 times, to my amazement, over the years. And I know that we don't have insurance, and so we must have paid that. I'd have to ask my wife what those charges were. But finally, I just wanted to emphasize that one of the huge things, I don't know that it's a finding, but in the Ninilchik area, there are significant oil and gas properties, and those oil and gas properties pay 20 mils to the state. The ones in Anchor Point pay 20 mils. Across the state, they pay 20 mils. That's what you pay if you're an oil and gas property. Now, the way that this works is a local community like the borough, they'll tap into that. Like, let's say the borough mill rate is, 5 mils or whatever it is. Then the state gets 15 and the borough gets 5. If a fire service area comes in, then the fire service area gets the 2.95. The oil companies don't pay more. It just goes to the fire service area rather than to the state. So in the Ninilchik area, you're looking at $227,000 that's sitting on the table, that's not being tapped, that's not costing residents anything different, it's not costing oil companies anything different, but that's money that these guys get to use to fund a very needed fire service area. So anyway, that's kind of the findings that came out. The like I say before, the working group was very unified. When it all came down to putting this measure on the ballot, it was a unanimous vote in favor of it.
And it was, I was at the second meeting at the fairgrounds in Ninilchik, and it was tremendously well attended. There seems to have been a lot of public participation in this process.
Absolutely. You know, the first meeting was the best attended where the crisis was on.
Right.
By the meeting you attended, it had calmed down quite a bit. But you're right, it was good attendance. And that, I think, is that speaks to the necessity of doing something. The people in the area want a good emergency service and fire service, and so that's what we're looking at.
Chief Bear from Ninilchik Emergency Services. I was wondering about the current day-to-day operations and capabilities in Ninilchik. What's happening now, and then what would change if this ballot measure passes?
Well, we're continuing to just try to provide the best service we can.
How many are you?
But I think we have about 15 active members on the roster. But again, you know, that shrinks down to a core of highly variable, 6 to 8, and that's variable day to day because some work on the slope 2 weeks at a time, some have day jobs, so
there's a lot to take into consideration with volunteers.
Every day is different, you know. Right now, I have a BLS crew stationed doing a shift at the station. I'm the ALS provider that's available, and I'm here.
My other BLS ALS
Advanced Life Support. Yeah, so basic life support is just basic life support, you know, but we want to try to provide that ALS capability at all times. You know, every run can possibly turn into that, so we want to have that provider there, and right now, you know, our station has 2 of those providers. We're continually trying to get them trained up to that level, but that takes time, and that's just the problems we're running into is the time it takes to train a responder to that level is 2-3 years, and sometimes that's all they're there for.
I have heard this from both chiefs over the course of the meetings I've attended and just in general conversations, that this is one of the major issues, is that keeping a volunteer is the hardest part. By the time they've trained up, they've kind of rotated out.
Exactly. You know, staffing is the issue. You know, if I had couple paid staff at the station right now that were hired on at a high level of certification. You know, I'm not worried. I'm not laying awake at night worrying how we're going to cover the next day's shift there. But I don't, you know, and that staffing is huge. That possibility of having five paid staff at the station, that are trained to a higher level and providing that consistency of care. That's just a tremendous benefit.
Are you the only paid staff at this point?
I am. Yeah. Okay. I've been paid as the chief there for a couple of years now, full time, and so that was a huge, you know, I think that was a good improvement. Before that, you know, we were paid the chief position was paid a small stipend, but it wasn't a full time salary, nowhere near.
No benefits,
salary.
None of that.
Nope.
And I would imagine benefits are hugely important when you're going into burning buildings and such.
Yeah, and that's again that paid staffing that with benefits that brings you know those full time positions in an LCHIC. I mean, it would just be tremendous to be able to offer that. And again, for volunteers that are there training and wanting to get into the career. I mean, it's huge for them. They can train up, and John's hired within his department, you know, volunteers that started as pure volunteers and worked through the years, got trained, and they're hired now. They're full-time positions there at his department.
I started as a volunteer with our department.
And I'm gonna come back to Chief Bear in just a moment with the question of what will happen if this ballot proposition fails. But I want to go to Chief Marsh now with basically the same setup. What is the setup there? You said you started as a volunteer, and now you're the chief. So there is a path to employment. It's just long, right? That's just a long path.
Yes. We have five paid staff. It took us a while to get there. When I first joined the department, we only had one, I believe, and we had just gotten a second. It does create a path for people to gain employment. Obviously, we're going to hire the most qualified people.
Right.
But that doesn't mean a volunteer can't be. Out of our five paid staff, three of the five were volunteers with the department before they were hired on full-time. But that's our big difference. And like Dave was talking about the ALS coverage, all five of our providers or of our paid staff are ALS providers. And that's the only reason we can guarantee ALS coverage is because we have those paid people.
And how much training is advanced life service? Is that advanced life service? Is that it?
Advanced life support. You need to be an EMT-3 or a paramedic, so it's not something you're just going to go out and
get. It's years.
Yeah. But the only reason we're able to provide that service all the time now is because we have five paid people that can be called in at any time that are staffing the station most of the time. Whether this passes or not, neither one of us will have 24-hour coverage. You know, it would take a lot more manpower to do that, but at least there's a guarantee that there's somebody paid around that's ready to go. So,
okay. And so back to Chief Bear, what will happen if let me start with Assemblymember Johnson. Can you lay out the service area, like what the Western service area looks like, where it extends to, and then we'll talk a little bit about what will change if this passes.
Absolutely. The service area right now, NES, is kind of along the coast, starting at Clam Gulch Tower, and it joins up with Anchor Point. The new service area, though, would go out into Cook Inlet and the potential that any oil and gas discoveries would be found there. And then it also runs eastward towards Tustamina Lake at that line of Clam Gulch Tower. That happens to be a section line there. And if it runs all the way east until it runs into the Central Emergency Service Area, which is has a remote area out in the hills there of Tustamina Lake. It runs south down to the Fox River, Caribou Lake, just north of that area, and then it bumps up against Kachemak Emergency Services, who operates out of the kind of the Homer area there. Runs over into, takes into then, of course, all the Anchor Point Fire and Emergency Medical Services area. And Anchor Point Oh, gosh. Last time I was on the assembly, I was able to sponsor an ordinance to shift the line at Anchor Point out into the ocean to take advantage of some oil and gas properties they have, which is pretty significant. So that's the whole area. It makes me comfortable as an assembly person because the way NES is set up now is they don't cover some of that remote area. And I like to see if a person gets in an accident in the borough, I want them to be in somebody's area.
Well, Mary has emailed a question to info@kbbi.org, or maybe she called 235-7721. You don't have to go to air if you call. You can just leave your question. But Mary would Mary reminds me to point out, so I'm going to have you do it, that not everyone in the borough votes on this.
Oh, absolutely
right.
Not.
This is just the people within the service area we're laying out right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting... the way this works is the people in the Nanilchik precinct have veto power. It has to pass that precinct for this to happen.
So it could pass Anchor Point and not Nanilchik, and it would not go forward.
That's correct, okay. And it's vice versa as well. The people in the Anchor Point voter precinct have veto power. It has to pass their area. So it's a double whammy in that it has to pass both areas. Both areas have veto power on this.
Okay, so I'd like to move to what will, I think we've kind of laid out what will happen if it passes, and we'll get a little bit back to that, but I want to talk to first Chief Marsh about what's the path forward if this Proposition 1 fails.
I think that's more appropriate question for Chief Bear.
Chief Bear, sorry. There you go.
yeah.
I got you back and forth.
You know, we struggle on. You know, we have a great, generous community that gives their hearts out every time we ask for money. They step up and they give it. But there's a perfect storm of funding issues that are there. That, you know, donations and grants. You know, they're just not, you know, set in stone. So, you know, I know people will donate a certain amount every year, but I don't know if we're going to get that grant for the new air compressor that we need next year, or the air packs that we need next year. Those are $90,000, $50,000 bills that operational budget of between $250,000 and $300,000 just can't cover. They just can't do that without grants, and those aren't, you know, sure things. So there's the volunteerism. I just don't know how many people I'll have next year. I don't know how many ALS providers I'll have next year. We're continually trying to recruit and retain. We were fortunate enough to get a grant for that process, and that's been nice to have, but that doesn't mean people will come and stay through the 2 or 3 years to get trained up and stay for, you know, any amount of time after that. So again, it's just going to be struggle like we have been. I have five fire trucks that are 25 years plus. You know, they are ready to be retired, and we have to start looking for new equipment. And so there's just this perfect storm of things that are coming to a head that moving forward, you know, it doesn't all come down to money, but a lot of it does.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah, and again, that staffing is just a huge component of that. You know, you can have the new trucks, you can have the new equipment, but if you can't put people in them on a consistent basis that are trained and able to go do the job safely, you don't have anything. You don't have a department. So,
and that's one of the reasons we're supporting it in Anchor Point is. Like Chief Bear said, there's a perfect storm of things that could happen, and eventually, if things fail in Nanilchik, it will put a burden on Anchor Point, and then we're scrambling to do something in an emergency situation where, you know, all of a sudden there is no services.
Right, because emergencies don't stop.
Yeah, so the way I look at it, this is both departments being very proactive and doing what's best for both communities for the long term.
Now, Chief Marsh... Getting it together. Chief Marsh, what will change day to day at the Anchor Point Fire Station if this proposition passes?
Day to day, not much is going to change, other than the fact that both service areas are you know, we're not going to, it's not going to be Anchor Point and Nanilchik. We're going to have one bigger service area with double the staffing that Anchor Point has right now. And we'll be able to utilize those people wherever necessary, whether it's in the Nanilchik, whether it's in Anchor Point. So I don't see anything changing as far as if anything, the level of service in Anchor Point will get better, as well as the Nilchik, because we have more manpower. Like Chief Bear was saying earlier, volunteerism is down. We're in the same boat. Just because we have some paid people doesn't mean we don't heavily rely on volunteers, and we're always recruiting. We're constantly looking for people. It takes a while to get people trained up, and then life happens. People leave, people move, people have kids. There's a variety of reasons people stop volunteering. So having that paid staff on both ends will help supplement that, and it'll also help get those volunteers better training and more support.
Also, it's physically demanding, and so there's a limit to how long you can do it, I would imagine.
Sure.
Although I'm sure some people do it longer than others. Now, go ahead, Assemblymember Johnson.
Yeah, I think one of the big changes that will happen is that there will be a new board appointed. So right now, you have a board at Nanilchik and a board at Anchor Point, and they're each... It's hard to have that for people to realize, but the boards have a tremendous influence on what happens. Everything has to get passed through the board, and then those boards make recommendations to the borough, and then the borough funds various or approves various funding. So that board is going to be a giant shift because it'll be overseeing both or both areas in one. It'll become one area.
Now, I do want to talk first with Chief Marsh and then Chief Bear about what does it look like going forward if Proposition 1 does not pass?
For Anchor Point, you know, we'll keep doing business as usual and keep trying to improve our service the best we can. It could also, like it points out in the summary, what we talked about in the working group, if we try to expand any staff in Anchor Point, we'll be looking at a mill rate higher than this proposed mill rate. So even though our mill rate in Anchor Point will go up a tenth of a mill if this passes, that's a much smaller price to pay than if Anchor Point stays on its own and decides to expand in staff, because it'll take a much more significant increase.
And Chief Bear?
Yeah, I maybe touched on it a little bit earlier, but yeah, we struggle on. We look for funding anywhere we can. We recruit. We try to keep people trained. Unfortunately, it's just our run volume has increased fairly dramatically over the last 3 years. You know, it went from something that was pretty manageable, that didn't require the level of care that we expect now, to something that, you know, multiple calls per day, having a call for mutual aid from Anchor Point when we can't provide the staffing, and we'll just continue down that path as best we can. Unfortunately, it's one bad day. It's one bad day from somebody not being able to get the care they deserve when they call 911, and I can guarantee you it'll happen. You know, I don't know when, but at some point, our current model is going to kind of break down, and somebody is going to, you know, I don't want to get dramatic, but somebody can die. You know, somebody can lose their home, their life, can suffer an injury that could have been manageable with the appropriate level of staffing and equipment. And so that crisis is going to happen. I think now is an opportunity to head that off when we're not in crisis mode, when we can still have a service and move towards something that's better and sustainable and can provide the communities a level of service they deserve.
So are you scratching your head or are you
both
indicating?
Assembly
member,
no, I appreciate what
Assemblymember Johnson.
What Chief Bear says, and I guess from what the experience has kind of taught us, is that Nanilchik really benefited through a period of time when grants were available from the state. They were able to build their station, get a lot of equipment. Because it's a volunteer, you know, I look at their recent year donations, $10,450. You don't build $1 million station with donations of that size. And the problem is that the state is running into a period of time when grants are going to be a little tougher to get.
Thank you for pointing that out.
And so there again, you got oil and gas properties that can replace some of this funding, and it's going to cost the residents. You can't tax the oil and gas properties separately without taxing your residents as well. So that's where that comes in. Anchor Point actually has 30% of their tax base is from oil and gas properties. That's $423,600 tax on the recent year. And so Ninilchik is 28%, combined area is 34%. But 34%, you're talking over a third of the money to fund your fire service area. And here's something that I think, and this is just me, who should pay for the each person's fire service area? I think the residents should pay because they're the ones that benefit. When you take money from the state, somebody is footing that bill. And when you take it from your local residents, like, it's kind of like having insurance. Everybody pools together, and when one guy's house catches on fire, you've got the resources to battle that blaze because you've all pulled your resources together.
And maybe I could just jump in real quick on that. You know, I have a sense since I've been chief and been going to these fundraisers, you know, it's the same core group giving and giving and giving every year. Post 18, American Legion gave us a $5,000 check, you know, during the 9/11 ceremony we had just recently, and they want to give us more. So it's them, it's seniors, you know, seniors coming to these things and donating money, and so it's the same group of people shelling out those donations. And you know, I think we've asked and we've sucked that well dry in some sense, because you know, it just feels wrong to take any more from that core group. It does seem appropriate to spread that pain out a little, to spread that cost out, and that tax, you know, that mill levy will do that. And I do think it's, you know, you get what you pay for to a certain extent. Yeah.
Well, census lists less than 800 people in Ninilchik proper, so it's a small population to have to draw from. But also, the demographics, is it an older population for the most part?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's an older aging and staying, grain and staying, I think Brenda likes to call it. And they've been super supportive. You know, they may have that exemption, that senior exemption that still stays in place on their primary residence. That doesn't change. But they're the ones that are coming to our fundraisers and donating every time. And so with that merger, you know, that pressure goes away. You know, we don't do that fundraising. We're not relying on that anymore to a great extent. I think that will help. You know, that'll provide some money in the community to go to other nonprofits. You know, when we're not sitting there asking for our membership drive every year, and I can say right now we've held off, you know, mailing that out. We generally do a letter membership drive to try to raise some money, and we're holding off, you know, till after this vote to mail that out, because we don't know what's going to happen. And I can probably say that's going up. If the merger fails, you know, that request is going to have to go up, and we're going to have to ask for more, and we're going to have to try to do the best we can to fund the operations.
And I want to just remind everybody that this is the October 6th municipal election, and it's the people in and around Anchor Point and Ninilchik that will form the new Western Service Emergency Service Area. And since we're about halfway through the show, more than halfway through the show, if you're keeping track, guests, thank you, then let's talk a little bit about, let's take a break from the proposition and talk a little bit about the need for volunteers and what, because both of you have mentioned it and talked about how hard it can be to keep volunteers. Now there are, it's, Anchor Point's got, I think, 2,000 people in the city, about that.
About 2,500. Give or take.
And can you talk, let's just take 5 minutes and talk about what it takes to be a volunteer. What are the requirements, and what, it sounds like what you put into it has a lot to do with, as a volunteer, what kind of time you have to offer. But from the basic standpoint, Chief John Marsh from Anchor Point, can you talk about what volunteers, what's expected of them?
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up, since you were going with this, and Chief Bear brought it up earlier, it's the same situation in Anchor Point. Our call volume over the last 10 years is up nearly 60%. And our volunteer responses is down about 60%. We have probably 25 people on our roster. But like I said, how reliable those people are depends on their life, where they live, what their job is, when the calls happen. So we have a core group of probably about 8 to 15 people. But one of the things I wanted to emphasize, whether this passes or not, we both need as many volunteers as we can get.
Yeah, I don't want to tie this 5-6 minutes of this conversation to the ballot proposition for that reason.
Whether this passes or doesn't pass, Nilchik needs volunteers, Anchor Point needs volunteers. We will always need volunteers, you know, regardless, you know, unless all of a sudden we figure out a way to come up with millions of dollars and have 30, 40 paid people, we're going to need them. As far as what's required, obviously you have to be able to pass a background check and have a good driving record and all that. But
what are the physical requirements?
If you're going to be a firefighter, you need to, with the borough, you need to pass a firefighter physical, and there's also a physical for EMTs as well. We do provide all the training at no charge. So when we do EMT classes and we do firefighter classes, there's no charge to the volunteer. We provide the books, we provide all the equipment, we provide all the training. And like I said, we can't get enough people. So if anybody's out there listening, either one of our areas, come by and
come
get an application.
In.
We'll welcome you with open arms.
And Chief Baird, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, and we do. We get people, you know, I had a volunteer walk in yesterday, and we did an interview. We sat down and talked about things, and he seems eager. Unfortunately, I think in a couple of years he's going to join the troopers. So I can already see the path. We'll get him in here. We'll use him as best we can. We'll hopefully get him in John's fire class. And you know, Anchor Point's been real great about letting our people go down there
and
get trained.
You guys already cooperate in that way.
Oh, yeah, for years. You know, we've attended their classes, and we offer whatever training comes in Nilchik, we offer that for free to Anchor Point. So yeah, we need them. I love our volunteers. They're a dedicated group of people that just put their heart and soul into the job, and they... You know, it's hard to imagine they would spend the time and the effort on any other vocation. You know, it's something about, you know, serving your community and the role of a firefighter, a proprietor. You know, they do it from the goodness of their heart, and they bring a lot of amazing skills, you know, into the department. You know, I've got electricians, I've got mechanics, I've got a door guy that came and maintained all our big garage doors. Took him, you know, 2 days, you know, to go through it and lubricate everything and inspect it. So, you know, that's a benefit from the volunteer side point standpoint, that, you know, they bring a lot of skill sets and so yeah, if you don't think you can do it, you know, come by anyway. If you think you know your back hurts too much, I mean, there's a role for you in an Nilchik. I think there's places we can use you, so come on in.
And just to reinforce for people that if you're thinking to yourself, I'd really like to do that, maybe there is something I can offer, or I want to be a firefighter, this is what I want to do, that it's not, you don't have to wait until the next class, that you're always taking people, right?
Absolutely not. For firefighting, we can do a lot of training in-house to get people up to speed, to be supportive, you know, and then obviously they're not going to be interior firefighters without going through the class and getting certified, but there's a lot of support work that can be done on scene that we can train people up to do in no time at all.
Also, that gives people an idea of what's about to happen going forward.
Sure, they might love it and be gung-ho and ready to go, or they might get a little taste of it and not like it and know it's not for them, but you don't know till you try.
And go ahead.
And Dave brought up a really good point, too. Our other issue that we struggle with volunteers, you were just talking about your new potential volunteer that's going to leave in a couple of years, and you already know that. That's very common for our areas. We have a lot of younger people that leave to go to work, go elsewhere to find jobs, go elsewhere to go to school. So the demographics make it very difficult to get volunteers and then keep them. And then when you do get them, people get burnt out on it, and other things in their life happens where they may not be able to do it anymore. So I can't emphasize that enough. We need people. We're always going to need people.
I realize we feel like everybody knows all of this, but for the purposes of our conversation, how do people find you at Anchor Point Fire, and how do they what's the preferred way to contact?
Our main station's on Milo Fritz Avenue, right off of the Sterling Highway, and we're there pretty much every day except for Sunday. There's somebody there, so you can stop by, or you can call the station. It's 235-6700.
And Chief Bear?
We're on Kingsley Road, right across from the post office. Big building, easy to find. Yep, we should have somebody, myself or somebody there most of the daytime hours, weekday hours. And you can call the station number at 567-3342. You can call my phone number at 953-0355.
Thank you. Assemblymember Johnson, I see you've been taking notes. I have a question for you, but if you have something you want to
I'll just make one mention and then answer your question.
Go ahead.
So I'm always remembering the people I'm forgetting, and so three of them are that were helpful in this. Marcus Mueller works in the planning department. He's the one that helped determine the boundary of the expanded area. Roy Browning, Chief Roy Browning, Central Emergency Services Area, certainly sat in on some many meetings and contributed some effort to helping us. Super good guy. And then I also want to mention Borough Attorney Colette Thompson. She oversees the head of the legal department, and so she's certainly worked on this.
And let's see. Johnny Blankenship, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, everybody. Borough Clerk for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, Johnny Blankenship's on the line. Thank you so much for calling. And we're moving along with this discussion about Borough Ballot Measure 1. But I wanted to take a little break and talk about voting. Who's voting on this and how to vote and how close we are. This is for the October 6th municipal election. Can you talk a little bit about participating in the election?
Absolutely. So currently we are promoting the absentee ballot by mail campaign, which is allowing people to get a ballot mailed to them. We have an online application as well as paper applications. And we have processed 3,000 of those. A normal year would be around 400. So people are definitely interested in voting absentee by mail. The other thing is that absentee in person will start on Monday, and we will have absentee in-person locations in Homer at the Homer Maintenance Office, which will have the ballots that will have Prop 1A and 1B on them. We also will have absentee voting here at the Borough Building.
And so,
and of course, the polls will be open on Election Day.
And so Nanilchik and Anchor Point will be voting where?
So Nanilchik will be voting at the fairgrounds, like they did for the primary and for last year. And Anchor Point will be at the Senior Center.
Oh, excellent.
And then also, there is a small group of voters in the Kisilov precinct and the Diamond Ridge precincts who will also be voting on this question.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was I was not clear on everybody that would be. Assemblymember Johnson went over who was included in the service area, but I forgot that the Diamond Ridge is a piece of that.
They are, just a small little section.
Okay, well, Johnny, I want to thank you. Is there anything else about the upcoming election that you feel like it's time to remind people about?
Well, hopefully everybody got their voter pamphlet. Those went in the mail Friday, and so they should be in people's mailboxes if they haven't already gotten there. If they didn't get one and they'd like to read more about this, it's available on our website. Also, there's a link on our Facebook page. And just to let people know that the proposition is set out in Proposition 1A, which is the area of the voters that will in the proposed expansion area, and 1B, which is in the existing Anchor Point Fire Service area. So like Mr. Johnson indicated, both 1A and 1B will need to pass in order for this to be considered ratified by the voters.
Well, thanks so much, Johnny Blankenship, Borough Clerk. Does anyone on the panel have any questions or clarifications for Johnny? I think you covered it, and I sure appreciate you calling in today.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Kristen should be on the line. Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Kristen.
I live in Anchor Point, and I've been looking at this and reading it. There's still a few things I'm confused about. Nanilchik has a group, nonprofit group that raises money for their service area at this time, for grants, donations, and what have you. It would appear that they'll be allowed to continue doing that, but the money they raise will not go into the service area. It will only stay in the Nanilchik area. Also, I'm kind of wondering, since they're going to be merging the two areas, how much of the administration will be merged and therefore money made available by cutting certain administrative positions, like we won't need two fire chiefs, obviously. We won't need two service boards, obviously. We'll need only just one. And how will things be divvied out, I guess I should say. The money seems to be a little vague on who gets how much and who will be in charge of what areas, because I've also read that Nanilchik will not have to leave its original area to go and do things in the Anchor Point area unless specifically asked by Anchor Point to do that. Therefore, I'm a little confused. I mean, it sounds like it sounds to me like Nanilchik is going to make out like abandoned in this, and Anchor Point is really going to be taking up most of the slack of getting this done.
Let me get the chiefs and Assemblymember Johnson on this. First of all, I saw furiously writing notes across here. So shall I start with Chief Bear?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. There's a lot of issues there. You know, I think the main thing is that if approved, this becomes one service area. This becomes one service area with one board, with members from each community. It becomes 10 paid positions. Those paid positions are utilized to the best efficiency of that service area. So there's no more mutual aid. There's no more, are we going to go? Does Anchor Point have to request Nanilchik? You know, this boils down to standard operating procedures of how we're going to operate as a combined service area.
And Chief Marsh, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think Dave hit it right on the head there. What everybody needs to understand is this isn't going to be Anchor Point and Nanilchik. This is one big service area. The savings will come from having one chief, one deputy chief, one mechanic that can be shared. And then the staffing will be for the entire service area and serve the service area as needed. So everybody's got to stop looking at it like Anchor Point's going to give up this or Nanilchik's going to do that. It's not going to be Anchor Point Emergency Services and Nanilchik Emergency Services anymore. It's going to be one service area, one budget, one board, one chief, and we're going to use the manpower to staff the service area where it's needed at the time.
Assemblymember Johnson?
Yeah, the easy way to look at this is to see the successful model that Central Emergency Services has used. They have a fire station in Sterling, so they're representing the community of Sterling. They have one at Funny River, so they're representing the community of Funny River. They have a fire station at Mackey Lakes that's kind of a training center now. Or I'm not exactly sure the status of that, but there's one there. They have one on K Beach. They're representing the community of K Beach. They have one in Kasilof across from the school, so they're representing the Kasilof community. And then, of course, the main station is downtown in Saldatna. There is a lot of things that can be done when people work together, and it works. I mean, the concept of the United States is important, the word united.
Now, I do want to ask about the first question that Kristen, the caller, referred to. Will it be possible for individual firehouses to fundraise for equipment in their specific areas? I think that was her first question, was that Nanilchik would be fundraising, but they wouldn't be sharing the money. But I want to try and frame that in a way, like, is it possible for... Chief Marsh?
Right now, there's two nonprofits. There's Anchor Point Volunteer Fire Department, which has been a pretty inactive nonprofit since everything went with the borough. And then on the Nanilchik side, their nonprofit is actually running their fire department right now. We haven't really ironed this part out yet. What probably will happen in the future is both of those nonprofits will go away and we'll create one new one for the entire area. Or maybe we'll just keep one of the existing ones. But like I said, if we're going to have a nonprofit that's going to support the service area, it's going to be one. There's not going to be a Ninilchik or an Anchor Point. Now, that doesn't mean we might not keep Ninilchik's nonprofit because they're much more active right now. But I can't emphasize this enough that if this passes, there's no more Ninilchik and Anchor Point emergency
resources.
The resources are combined. It's one service area, and we will do our best to serve the entire area equally with whatever staff we have.
I think if the merger passes, that our nonprofit, Ninilchik emergency nonprofit, doesn't dissolve, you know, it can still function and retain liquid access, but its goal is to support, you know, the service. It's to support the emergency services, and I think they're going to do that with every intention to make a very efficient and well-equipped service.
Well, thank you, Chief David Baer from Ninilchik Emergency Services and Chief John Marsh, Anchor Point Fire and Emergency. I'll be back to you guys for final comments. But Assemblymember Brent Johnson, I know there's something you wanted to add.
Oh, the caller, Kristen, asked about people would not have to leave their area, and I think what she's referring to is there's the question of volunteers. If you live in Ninilchik, will you be forced to volunteer in Anchor Point? And the truth is that the new fire service chief will use his resources as it makes best sense. It doesn't make sense to make somebody in Ninilchik serve in Anchor Point. You'll probably use their service in the Ninilchik area and vice versa. But that ain't to say that someday you might be short and somebody will need to be serving here or there. So, you know, that question is just a matter of whatever makes best sense.
Well, it's time for a recap, and Assemblymember Brent Johnson, I'm hoping that you'll give it to us. This is Proposition 1, Borough Ballot Measure 1, for the upcoming October 6th municipal election. Can you give the people a read of the one more time of
Absolutely.
The ballot?
Absolutely. So the at stake here is whether or not we will have a single service area that pools its resources, pools its tax base, and serves all the people in that larger area.
And a yes vote would support that idea.
That is correct.
And a no vote
will kill it on either area.
So that things will continue somewhat as they were. So Chief David Baer from Ninilchik Emergency Services, do you have any final comments?
Well, I think status quo isn't acceptable. You know, going forward, I think sustainability requires, you know, more paid staffing. That requires bigger budgets. We're just kind of at a turning point. Fortunately, we're at a stable place where we can still provide service, but we have an opportunity here to really make things sustainable, to create some longevity that we can look into the future and see a bright, shining day with a very well-funded, very operationally sound service area.
Thank you, Chief Baer. Chief John Marsh from Anchor Point Fire and Emergency.
I just want to reiterate what Chief Baer said. I think this passing, in the long term, it's in the long term best interest of both communities.
Thank you so much. And Assemblymember Brent Johnson, any final comments from you?
Thank you, KBBI Radio and Kathleen. Really appreciate you having us on the roundtable.
Well, I sure appreciate all of you being here. And one more reminder, ballot measure one is on the October 6th municipal election ballot. And if you haven't made your plans yet for voting, you should make them today. So I'm Kathleen Gustafson. This has been The Coffee Table.